Well, as we know, the scriptures are full of many wonderful types of the Lord Jesus, and I wanted in this occasion to take up the type of him as the shepherd. So I'm going to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 10. John 10 and verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know those that are mine, and am known of those that are mine, as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I also want to read from chapter 21 of this same gospel. Now, Jesus is the good shepherd, but he also wants to make each one of us shepherds. And so I want to read John 21, verse 15 and onwards. This is Jesus again. When therefore they had dined, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He says to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I am attached to thee. He says to him, Feed my lambs. He says to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He says to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I am attached to thee. He says to him, Shepherd my sheep. He says to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, art thou attached to me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Art thou attached to me? And said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I am attached to thee. Jesus says to him, Feed my sheep. And then in Peter's epistle, Chapter 5, Peter's first epistle. Verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am their fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of the Christ, who also am partaker of the glory about to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, exercising oversight, not by necessity, but willingly, not for base gain, but readily, not as lording it over your possessions, but being models for the flock. And when the chief shepherd is manifested, you shall receive the unfading crown of glory. I think it's wonderful the way God has provided these various types of the Lord Jesus for us in the scriptures. We've already been contemplating him as the Lamb of God, the Lamb that was slain. But I wanted to speak about the Lord Jesus now as the shepherd, and in particular the good shepherd. And it's interesting that the Lord Jesus can be spoken of as a lamb, but can also be spoken of as a shepherd. And let's remember who we're talking about, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the one who was involved at the beginning in the creation of the worlds, the creation of man, the creation of the animals. And the Lord Jesus knows intimately every detail about sheep and lambs. He knows intimately every detail about humans, you and I. He knows intimately all the details about shepherds. There's nothing the Lord Jesus isn't able to know and and use as an illustration for us, to bring home to us the reality of his love for us. And he introduces himself here and in John's Gospel as the Good Shepherd. Now I think this title, the Good Shepherd, is something that refers alone to the Lord Jesus. There are many other shepherds in the scripture, and some were good, some were not so good. But Jesus stands alone as being the Good Shepherd. And it's wonderful to have this impression of him that we can gain from the scriptures. And I just wanted to bring out three things in relation to the Good Shepherd that are spoken of in this chapter. The first is that the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The second thing is that he knows those that are his. And the third thing is that he is known by those that are his. These are the words of Jesus. It's not my impression. It's exactly taken from the scripture that we've just read. But the prime one is that Jesus has laid down his life for us. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And where we finished reading, as if to emphasize that point, he says it again, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And if nothing else, I want you to know that that is the prime thought in the Lord Jesus' mind as he opens up the thought of the Good Shepherd to his disciples. Now, why did he do it at this point? And I think you have to look back at chapter 9 and you see that really this chapter is chapter 9, chapter 10, and I suppose chapter 11 as well. It's all really a continuation, and it's John, under the Spirit of God, bringing out for us this characteristic of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, as distinct from the others that were there in Israel and that marked the leaders of Israel at the time, of the Jewish people. The blind man in chapter 9, he had no good shepherd that he could turn to. Indeed, the rulers of Israel at the time had cast him out. And really, the section that we've read from, almost, I think in the original text, it probably begins at verse 35 of the previous chapter. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And here is Jesus beginning his work as the Good Shepherd. And he finds this man that he had earlier healed and given sight to, finds him and speaks to him, and brings out the with this blind man, made him not only understand that he was the one who would be laying down his life for him as the Son of God, but also so that the blind man could know him and be known by him. And so I think these three things, that the Lord Jesus has laid down his life, he knows us, and his desire is that we might know him, what characterizes the Good Shepherd. And there was nobody at the time who fulfilled those criteria. Indeed, the prophet Ezekiel, in chapter 34 of the prophecy, had spoken very harsh words about the shepherds of Israel. And I was tempted to read parts from that chapter, and I will do, I think. But it's a chapter that is well worth contemplating, because it shows that, again, that God's thought was always that he would introduce a good shepherd. And it was there in his mind from the beginning, just as we were saying earlier this afternoon, that the Lamb of God was in his mind from the beginning. In chapter 34 of Ezekiel, the prophecy comes against the shepherds of Israel. Thus says the Lord Jehovah, woe to the shepherds of Israel that feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? And he goes on to speak harshly against them. Ye killed them that are fattened. The weak have ye not strengthened, nor have ye healed the sick. Ye have not bound up what was broken. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you sought for that which was lost. but with harshness and with rigor have ye ruled over them. That's paints a picture of just what the shepherds were like. The rulers of Israel, of the Jewish people, had no compassion for the people at all. They were not leading them. They were not rescuing them. They were not healing them. And they were able to do nothing for them. And that's the background into which the Lord Jesus had come. And he felt it. He felt it immensely. He looked upon the people of Israel. It's recorded in the Gospels of how he looked upon them as sheep that were scattered, that had no shepherd. And how he grieved over that situation. And it brought out his compassion for the people. It says there in the scriptures that he had compassion for them, because they were a sheep without a shepherd. And that's the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd. That's how he is introduced in the scriptures for us. And he came into that situation where the people were lost. Without a good shepherd, without any shepherd, sheep really are completely lost. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know where to find food. They don't know where to find water. Sheep are actually pretty pathetic creatures. And it's interesting that you and I are described as sheep, because that's how we are. And without the Lord Jesus as the Good Shepherd in our lives, we will struggle and we will be lost. We will be helpless. We'll find no satisfaction in this world. But the Lord Jesus, He is the Good Shepherd, and he introduces himself in John chapter 10 in this way, and he emphasizes that he lays down his life for the sheep. Now, he was going to do that literally. He was going to do it willingly, as we've already thought a little of that today. The way he was going to allow himself to be taken. A little later on in this book, he says, no one, in speaking of his life, he says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it again. We're speaking of someone who had authority to do that. It's the Son of God. And he, as the Good Shepherd, his love for you and for me was such that he wanted to go that way and lay down his life for us. And he had the authority to be able to do it and to take it again. As the scripture says, I have received this commandment of my Father. The Lord Jesus alludes to others. He says, all that have gone before somewhere it says about those that are thieves and robbers. I just can't find it at the moment. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, and the sheep did not hear them. But he makes a point here. I am the Good Shepherd, and I know those that are mine, and I'm known of those that are mine. The Lord Jesus takes tremendous interest in every one of us. He knows us through and through. And he acts as the shepherd, not because he's been paid to, or not because he was told to, but because he wants to, and because he loves you and I. And that is the motivation behind all that the Lord Jesus does. It's his love for the sheep. And when it says, I know those that are mine, that is something that, again, is unique to the Good Shepherd. Now, a shepherd will know his sheep. He won't know them in the way that the Lord Jesus knows you and me, though. And while he might know them, he will still probably have to put a mark on them to identify them, prevent them getting mixed up with perhaps sheep of another farmer, as can indeed happen. But a good shepherd will learn the characteristics and the features that mark his sheep, and will start to form a relationship with them. But I think this, the Lord Jesus is unique in the way that he can know the sheep, because he knows the heart, which is something that you and I can never do when it comes to looking at creatures and at other people. We don't know what's in their heart. But the Lord Jesus knows us through and through, and he knows those that are his. and is known by those that are his. Now, I read a very interesting illustration of this. And in fact, it was in a book I was reading about a person that trained and sheepdogs. He looked after sheepdogs, border collies, in fact. And he was telling a story to show, I think it was to illustrate, not a spiritual point, it was to illustrate the fact that the shepherd is needed just as much as the sheepdog. And it was a situation where a shepherd owned a flock of sheep right next door to another flock of sheep that were owned by another farmer, another shepherd. And unfortunately, the two flocks had got mixed up together in one field, and they were all mingled together. And he had the task, this one shepherd who found the situation, of separating the sheep and getting his own sheep back into his field and the other sheep away into the other field. And he was perplexed. He didn't know how to do it. His dog didn't know how to do it. And he was there, I think, at the edge of the field, obviously looking a bit distraught and puzzled about how he was going to sort his problem out. And somebody drove by, another shepherd, as it turned out, in his tractor or in his Land Rover, and stopped to say hello and assessed the situation and nodded wisely and said, "Yes, you've got a problem, haven't you? Do you not know what to do?" And this particular shepherd said, "No, I'm a bit stuck. The dogs can't really go in there and separate them, and I'm not absolutely sure which are mine." So he said, "Have you got any words of advice?" And he said, "Yes, well, you just go in the field, take yourself and sit on the wall and just wait." And so he did. He didn't know how it would work, but he went and he sat there on the edge of the field, and a strange thing happened. All of his sheep quite happily started to congregate and gather around him. The other sheep that weren't his didn't really know him, and they started to wander away. And over a period of time, without doing anything, the dogs weren't even involved, the sheep just started to separate. And those that knew the shepherd stayed with the shepherd, and the others that didn't wandered off, and gradually it emerged. He could tell the difference, and then he was able to deal with the situation. And that had when I read that story, it had a spiritual significance to me, and it spoke to me about the way the Lord Jesus is not only intimately knows his sheep, but the sheep are attracted to him. And it's a picture of how you and I should be with the Lord Jesus as our shepherd. We should be so acquainted with him that we desire to be in his presence and desire to be near to him. Be kept by him, near to him, and in the vicinity of the shepherd. And the sheep, obviously, those that belong to him, are quite happy to be kept, to be in his vicinity and to be near to him. But the others were uncomfortable. And how true that is of the Lord's people. They love to be in the presence of the shepherd. And I trust that is true of each one of us here, that we like to keep near to him and in his company. And the Lord Jesus knows us, and he knows that we know him. And as the good shepherd, he wants that situation to be enhanced, and that we might know him more and know him better. And as we do that, we can then answer to this remark of the Lord Jesus, that the sheep are known, that he is known of those that belong to him. Now he goes on to say, in relation to this knowledge, "As the Father knows me, and I know the Father." Well, that touches on something that is almost beyond us. The knowledge that the Father has of the Son, and the knowledge that the Son has of the Father. But we see from this that the desire of the shepherd is that we might know him in that same way, with a knowledge that really is spirit-given. And the Lord Jesus does indeed provide us with his Spirit, the Comforter that he goes on to speak about in later chapters of John's Gospel, so that we might truly know him. and also know the Father. Well, just as the Lord Jesus is to be our shepherd, and we always think of him as the good shepherd, there is an aspect for which each one of us also need to take on the characteristic of the shepherd. We need to be like the shepherd. And Peter, I think, helps us to understand this aspect. And part of the burden of what I want to speak to you about today is as much the need that I feel there is amongst us of shepherds. Now, I know the good shepherd is the one ultimately who we need in our lives. But as the good shepherd, Jesus is very conscious that his sheep need feeding, need care, and need guidance. And he was very concerned that his disciples would have that function. And of course they were special, the 12 apostles. We haven't got apostles today. But there is something that the Lord Jesus left with Peter, and Peter in turn leaves it with us, that we are to be shepherds. And I think it's open to all of us, brothers and sisters. And my desire is that we might each become shepherds and shepherdesses amongst the people of God today. And it's my desire that we might learn from the Good Shepherd how to be shepherds and shepherdesses amongst his people here on earth. And it's for the time of the Lord's absence. And Peter speaks of the Lord Jesus in the epistle there, of the third scripture that I read, as the chief shepherd. And I think that opens up to us the thought that Jesus does indeed want there to be shepherds amongst his people. He always will remain as the chief shepherd. He is the good shepherd, and that's him alone. But as the chief shepherd, he has those that are under him. Could we call them under shepherds? And he is the chief one, but you and I need to take on the features of shepherds too. And Peter had to learn to become a shepherd, and Peter in turn passes on that learning and is a model to us so that you and I can become shepherds. And there's a very necessary reason for it. And that's what the Lord Jesus, I think, is dealing with at the end of John's Gospel in this chapter 21. He picks on Peter, and you might wonder, why did he pick on Peter? Wouldn't John have been a better person to pick on to speak about this matter of shepherding and feeding the lambs and the sheep? But no, he picks upon Peter. And I'm sure there's a reason for it. And I'm sure that that reason is connected with Peter's history. The fact that Peter had denied the Lord Jesus 3 times. And it shows that shepherd character doesn't necessarily have to be associated with persons that have been marked by, shall we say, a spiritual character without any problems or any deviations. Peter was one who, as I said, had denied the Lord 3 times, but he knew something of the Lord, of the Lord's intercession for him. He knew the look of the Lord who'd seen him after the cock had crowed, and that look had made Peter weep, and he'd learnt a lesson about himself that I think gave him a moral character that equipped him to be a shepherd. And I think that's why he takes up Peter, but he does it amongst all the other disciples, so that it wasn't just Peter that was made to be aware that he needed to be a shepherd, but all the other disciples were made to be aware that Peter was the one that the Lord was using as the illustration of being made to be a shepherd like the good shepherd was. And so I think it was a word to all the disciples, just as much as to Peter. But it's Peter that's picked upon. And he tests, the Lord Jesus tests him three times in relation to his love. Now, we've said of the Good Shepherd that he laid down his life for the sheep. And as we sang in the hymn at the outset, what love from this shepherd did flow. And that's really what it speaks to me of. And Peter had said to the Lord that he loved him and would go to the ends of the earth for him. And Peter, in one sense, had declared his love for the Lord Jesus, but had sadly realised that in his own strength he was incapable of carrying through that desire that he had. And the Lord tests him here. Lovest thou me more than these? We were speaking about this a couple of weeks ago at Bromley. You can look at that in many ways, but the Lord Jesus was really probing Peter as to just how much do you really love me? You've said that you love me more than these, but do you really? And the Lord Jesus says these three things to him: feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, and feed my sheep. The emphasis is on feeding. Feeding is said twice. The word shepherding would involve feeding, but it involves everything else that is associated with shepherding the sheep. That is, leading them and guiding them and taking them into the area where there's water and where there's food. Protecting them. We know all the various things. I mean, I'm no shepherd. There's others here who can speak much better of it than I can. But the thing that was uppermost in the Lord Jesus' mind is obviously the question of feeding. Feed, first of all, the lambs. They're the younger ones. This word for lamb does indeed mean the little ones, the little lambs. How much they need feeding and nurturing and bringing on. And there's today, I think, the shepherd is needed supremely amongst us for the lambs, to make sure that they're properly fed, they're properly allowed to grow and develop and know the places where they should go to find food, and know the and build the confidence in the Lord Jesus for their lives. How important it is to feed my sheep. But Peter had to learn that the motive for feeding the lambs was to have his love truly probed. And so the first characteristic of any shepherd amongst us is, do you really love the Lord Jesus? First, if you don't love the Lord Jesus, what love will you have for the sheep, for his sheep? And that really is the first thing to grasp in relation to shepherding. But the wonderful thing, Peter, his love for the Lord was tested here, and he said at the end, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I am attached to thee. And Peter, I think, got the message, and he got the threefold aspect of this shepherding character that the Lord Jesus was impressing him with. Peter was grieved because he'd said to him the third time, art thou attached to me? And as the note points out, there are two different words used for this matter of love and attachment. And I think it's really to bring out just what is the depth of the attachment of love that we have for the Lord Jesus, and is that the motive that is going to drive us in relation to our shepherding of one another. Well, Peter certainly learnt, and I think, as you follow him through the Acts of the Apostles, you see the way that he developed that love for the sheep, the way that he developed his ability to care for them and to provide for them. And we see in his epistles the way he particularly writes to the dispersion, those that were scattered, sheep that are scattered. And he writes to them to help them through the times, difficult times, the trials and the persecutions that they were going through. Peter wrote this epistle just when the Christians were being persecuted by the Roman ruler. and or the emperor at the time. And what a difficult time they were going through. The Christians had it really, really tough. And they were hated by many. And that's just when Peter's shepherd character comes to the fore, and he encourages others to take on that feature. So in chapter 5 of his first epistle, where I read, he starts to exhort them as a fellow elder. He puts himself alongside the others that had the responsibilities amongst the people of God. And he exhorts them to take account of the Lord Jesus. What is it that he picks out? He picks out the sufferings of the Christ. Witness of the sufferings of the Christ. Again, that's to appeal to us. It would involve the knowledge of the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God. It would involve the knowledge of him as the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. He says, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you," exercising oversight. Now, I thought in relation to that, exercising oversight, that that's a global view. That's a top-down view, of the people of God. And that is something I think that is important for us today. We can sometimes get a little bit caught up with those that we know and those that are in our immediate circle. But God has his people throughout the world. And we sometimes need to have this thought of a top-down view, looking down upon God's people as he would look down upon them. Exercising oversight, not out of necessity, but willingly. And again, that comes back to the characteristics that mark Jesus as the Good Shepherd. He did it willingly. He did it out of his love. And he did it not because he was going to get anything out of it, but because he really loved his sheep and every single one of them individually, but he wanted to bring them together. Indeed, the Lord Jesus speaks of that thought of the one flock, and here we have the flock of God. Readily, not as lording it over your possessions, but being models for the flock. We'd referred earlier to Ezekiel's prophecy in relation to the shepherds. They were lording it. They were taking advantage of the flock and using the flock for their own ends. Well, that's not the way that we need to have to be shepherding the people of God today. Not with any sense of lording it over those that have been entrusted to us, but as being models and as showing the way by example, but as loving them and wanting them to be brought into the very best, which is always what the Lord Jesus has in mind in relation to his flock. He finds good pasture for them. That's another aspect of the Good Shepherd. So I think that this shepherd character is something that is much needed today. I think it's something that we can all take on. I know that there are various gifts mentioned in the scriptures, and one of the gifts is gift of shepherding and teaching. But it's put together. And I think the gift really there in relation to teaching, it is for the teaching aspect, but it has to be done with a shepherd character. But John, in his writing, in his epistle, speaks about the one who has laid down his life for us, no doubt thinking of the Good Shepherd. And he says, we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And I think that would be my authority for suggesting that we can all take on this shepherd character, and that we can all be of that mind that is looking out for the people of God, for the Lord's people, his sheep that are here. And while he ultimately is the chief shepherd and will always have the ultimate hand, shall we say, in caring for his sheep, he does want each one of us to have that same character, to display that same character in the way that we care for one another and look after one another. We can see what disaster occurs when there is no shepherd character amongst God's people. We see it with a relation to the people of Israel, how they were scattered, how they did not know where to go. We've even seen that amongst Christians. And in my lifetime, I've seen the way the people of God have been scattered. I've seen the way that they've been led badly and wrongly. And what damage has been caused. We need shepherds who are following the good shepherd and obtaining their lead from him as the chief shepherd. Well, there's a wonderful motivation for this. When the chief shepherd is manifested, ye shall receive the unfading crown of glory. What a wonderful promise that is. What a wonderful prospect that we know that the chief shepherd, as the one who is over all of us, is keeping watch and observing what is going on. And there is that motivation that there is this crown of glory for those that are faithful in their service to the chief shepherd, those that are able to operate in this way with love in their hearts, with the desire to lay down their lives for the brethren. This shepherd character, may it be enhanced amongst us. May we have the constant thought in our minds of feeding the lambs, of shepherding the sheep and feeding the sheep. We all need the food, however old we are. We all need shepherding. And we need those that can take a role in it. And I would suggest that it's something we can each do. Whatever the measure may be, small or large, may we be encouraged to take our cues, so to speak, from the Good Shepherd in all that we do, for his name's sake. Amen.